Okay, we are back with Scotty Fowler. He's a big hunting buddy of me and Brian's. We had to drag him out to this podcast because he said he's not a good talker. But every single time I have him in the blind, man, it's always a good conversation, a good time.
Well, and the reason he's a duck hunter now is because of this podcast. That was he told us that he absolutely was not going to go duck hunting with us. He had no desire to go duck hunting. He didn't need another hobby, and then he listened to our first episode and called Ron and said, called Ron and said, "Hey, I want to go hunting with you guys." And then it was, "Hey, I'm going to go buy a shotgun." And it was, "Hey, I got a bunch of duck decoys. Hey, you guys going this weekend? I want to go hunting this weekend.
Hey, I got a second shotgun."
Yeah, exactly. So,
"Hey, I got a cart."
Yeah,
hey, you got into it quick, man. You're like an addict on your first hit.
Yes.
Yeah. Hey. And the reason it blew our minds that Scott doesn't want to go duck hunting is he's one hell of a dog trainer too, and he's the president of the Las Vegas Retriever Club out here. And man, Scott called me. I met Scott through the Wing Group, and Scott said, "Hey, I want to be more involved in the Wing Group, and I want you guys more involved in this Retriever Club." We kind of shook hands on it and went from there. But I went out to one of these Retriever Club meetings out in Overton. And it just blew my mind with some of those dogs out there. I mean, even your dog, you said your dog's a novice, right?
Yeah, mine's the lowest level.
But she's just a stud, man.
Right.
She is just awesome. What's her name?
Annie,
yeah. Well, I think we got a few pictures of Annie, maybe. If not, we're going to put one up. Okay. But, yeah, Annie's one hell of a dog, man.
Yeah, and it's funny is my boy dog is actually better than her.
And I wanted to ask you a little bit. How was that going down there?
To
California.
Oh, that was fun, right? So he's the little puppy. He's what, 22 weeks? Yeah, 22 weeks old.
Yeah.
He was doing 130 yard marks.
Dude, I saw that. I saw your Facebook videos?
Yeah.
Dude, he looks like a stud. And how long till you get him back?
1 year.
A year?
Yes.
He's already kind of dialed. You have to wait a whole year till he comes back. He's going to come back master level, right?
Correct. That's what we're planning on, right? So what we're talking about earlier I'm not a dog trainer. I try to learn about
training. You can fool me, man. You can fool me.
I'm learning how to train dogs, right? But it's the levels that he's supposed to come back at. All my friends that are in the hunt test game, they all have master level dogs.
Yeah.
So in the hunt test part, you have junior, seniors, and masters, and they separate in different parts of the fields, right? So masters is a 2-day test, right? So all my friends are at masters. I'm always stuck in juniors because that's where my dogs are. And I want to go over and watch all the really good dogs run. Right. Yeah. So that's why I decided to get a pro trainer, right, and put Swerve out there and let him, you know. Because the training that I've done in the 2 years that I've had my dogs, it'll take me 4 or 5 years to get them to master level of me training.
Okay.
Because I can only train 1 day a week.
Yeah.
Really train. But with him, he'll get to go 6 days a week. He'll get plenty of birds, he'll get the obedience, he'll get all the hand signals. So when I get him back, he should be at that master level.
Now, will he run him through tests while he's up there? Will he take him to competitions and stuff?
Yeah, so if I can get him into the competitions, he travels all over from Kansas all the way up and down the West Coast. So wherever they have a hunt test, he will enter them. If he can get the majority of his dogs in it, then he'll go.
Mm-hmm.
He'll put them in it.
So what's the, because I'm sure there's a lot of people that aren't familiar with the dog world and haven't been to the dog world. What is a hunt test? What does it involve? You know, what are the kind of the requirements to be in, and what do they do?
I got a lot of questions, so I want to start at the junior level. Tell me what a junior level hunt test consists of.
Okay, so first, there's two different types of hunt test, or three different types of hunt tests, right? Mm-hmm. Actually, there's four, I'm sorry. So there's an AKC. There's an HRC, there is a field trial, and then there's the SRS. What's the SRS is on TV.
What does HRC stand for? Do you remember?
It's like a hunt. So the AKC, when you walk up, you've got holding blinds. In a junior level, they have a flat collar. So you can walk up, undo your slip lead off of them, and you can hold them with a collar.
That's the one you gave my little daughter with. It's like about a... like almost a foot long.
Well, that's a tag, but no, they just have one flat collar. You can slide your fingers under it, hold them. When they throw the bird and they say dog, you release your dog, you can let the dog go.
Okay.
That's only in juniors.
That's AKC.
Yes, AKC. Okay. And then when you go to senior levels in AKC, they can't have anything on. no collars, no nothing.
Okay.
So once you walk them up to the holding blind, you set them down, you take the slip lead off of them, they have to walk up to the line under control with nothing. So if they move or break or anything, you get disqualified.
Now, you, we'll bring it up later, but you said, like, depending on the day, the dogs always change on what they want to do.
Yes. Yes. It's,
so you'll like have a dog that's dialed, and you'll walk him up to a test, and he'll never have broken before, and that day he'll take off.
Yes. Same thing like hunting, right? Like, if you have a dog that's, you take hunting, well, they practice, like Maureen, her dog Frisco that I get to run for all the time.
Yeah.
Practice, that dude will never break, never move, his butt will set on the ground, but you get him to a hunt test with all the excitement, all the people, all the stuff around him.
Yeah.
He'll be gone.
That's I mean, that's just normal. I mean, you get a lot of athletes that are like that too. I have that issue with shooting, kids shooting, and they go to state. You know, they'll shoot all year long. They'll be just dead on. They go to state and they can't hit a clay. And it's just their brain changes, you know. They feel the excitement and it changes the way they work. So.
And that's the same thing with the dogs, right? Because the dog reads you like me.
Yeah.
I've played sports all my life, right? And I get more nervous walking up to the line with my dog. I feel like I'm going to throw up every time. It's just, it's...
Are you serious? You get that nervous, huh?
I do. Because you train, that's, it's funny because you train so hard.
Yeah.
And you want to do so good. But they make these tests difficult sometimes. They make them easy sometimes. It's, but when you walk up to the line, I get butterflies and I get nervous. Like the first time I ran my dog,
uh-huh.
I walked over the back of my truck and I threw up.
What?
Yeah, I was just because I was so nervous and it's...
You don't look like that guy, man. You're so like even flow, chill, route. I don't see you getting nervous about nothing.
Yeah, I know. It's so much fun, right? Because you want to do so good.
Yeah.
Because and all you're doing is you're working for a $3.50 ribbon. Right? I mean, that's what it is, right? I mean, it's you get no money out of it. You get nothing except for your dogs. If they run a junior, if they run it four times...
Yeah.
You get a junior title, right? So the only thing that you get an AKC certification, and it says JH on the side of it, right? That's what I have for my two dogs.
So you say you run it four times. So let's go back to that AKC dog. You walk out to the line. You're allowed to hold the collar for the junior test. Then what happens?
So most of the time, they'll start off with land. You have two series. You have a land series and a water series. So on the land series, they'll have two birds that'll be thrown in the field. Most of the time... one of them is a live flyer. So they'll throw the duck, they'll shoot it, it'll fall, right? So once it hits the ground, the judges behind you will say dog, or they'll give you a number, right? Whatever number you have.
Yeah.
So once they do that, like I'll go Ruben, and I'll let him go. He'll go get the bird, bring it back. And in juniors, you have to retreat the hand.
Okay.
So they can, as long as they don't drop it on the ground and you can grab it, what they call the junior grab, you can reach down and grab it, but you kind of have like a little... circle you're standing in, right? Like an imaginary circle.
Yeah.
You can't just run out there 10 feet and meet him and grab him. Right? You've got to make him come back to you.
Yeah.
Right? So like Ruger, the first hunt test, not to show you the video of it, but we were out on 16.
Okay.
Right? So we're out on that field, turning loose, and they had like 10 or 12 goose decoys. They shot the bird. It fell. My dog never was forced fresh or anything. He ran and scouted every decoy. Ran around the whole field. Went over, picked the bird up, brought it to me, and I caught it.
Uh-huh.
Right? So the next one, which came off the right side, out. Turned him loose. He went and got it. But as he came back to me, he went to my left about 10 feet and dropped.
Oh.
But he doesn't know. He didn't go fetch, right?
Yeah.
So I couldn't go fetch, pick it up.
Yeah.
Just pick up, and then he would have passed it.
Yeah.
Right? Because he wouldn't pick up that bird. I failed the test.
Does that mean he got one pass and one fail, or just
no.
a fail?
So, to get a pass, you have to do two marks on land,
uh-huh.
two marks on water.
Okay.
So, you have to pass the whole day.
So, it's four events.
You have to do four events.
And you have to have a total of four passes before you can be certified.
Well, yeah, before he'll get a junior hunt title.
Okay.
And so, like, if you, in seniors, you have to, I think it's five, right? So, in masters, you get six. Right, but masters is a whole different level because if you get six passes in 1 year, your dogs qualify for master nationals, which that's like the Super Bowl. You know, everybody wants to take their dog to master nationals.
That's the Super Bowl. Where is that held?
It's different areas. Like sometimes I think 1 year was in South Carolina. They were supposed to have one on the West Coast. They kind of alternated.
Okay.
But they do 6 days. I think it's 6 days. one test a day, right? Or six events.
And you said that, correct me if I'm wrong, but you said that the Nationals used to be, you know, pretty much all pro dogs in there, and that was the only ones that got invites, and now that there's some amateur dogs that by rule have to, they have a certain amount of spots set aside for amateurs.
Well, no, so in master levels coming up in 2021, AKC changed, and I think it's one of the club gets to designate whether it's 33% or 25% amateurs, right? So the hard part about now is what the, I haven't experienced because I don't have a master dog, but when you go to enter, let's say our hunt test coming up.
Yeah.
Our hunt test, the masters will fill up within 3 minutes. 66 dogs because everybody has to get online.
It's already full, right?
Entries, well, when it opens up, so it opens up on February 3rd at 8 p.m. At 8 p.m., everybody on the West Coast is trying to get in there and enter their dog, right? So 66 spots fill up like that. So we had, last year, we had 66 spots fill up, and then we had a couple pro trainers that usually bring in 20 dogs on the trucks. They didn't get in, so we upped it to 99, which really hurt the club because we didn't, we weren't really capable of handling two separate Thursday flights, two separate Saturday flights.
We just don't have enough people in the club to handle that.
Yeah, club. Oh, there goes the line.
It's good, don't worry about it.
So the, but yeah, we didn't plan on it. It was 2 weeks before that our birds got quarantined by Idaho Department of Wildlife. So 2 weeks before, they go, hey, you don't have any ducks. So I hung around and found some ducks in California. And my guy that was going to bring the ducks went and picked them all up for me and brought them down to me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so we didn't have enough ducks to fulfill. We had enough to get through the weekend, but luckily, you know, so.
And those ducks are a big part of it. I mean, how many ducks do you bring in for the hunt trials out here?
So this year we're bringing in 600 ducks.
So 600 ducks, so those get shot up in the day. And what do you do with those ducks when they're, when you use them after the event? What happens to those ducks?
They get to go in a freezer in my house. Hey. In a bunch of freezers. I'm trying to find a new freezer now and put a bunch more in them.
They're going to shoot more ducks in the hunt trials than they did in Overton in the first 2 months.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. And then you'll use those ducks for your training days and stuff like that for
Absolutely.
Your club.
So everybody in the club, every weekend, right, we pull out 5, 6, 10, 12, however many people said they're going to join us. Right, I thaw them out. We bring them out, throw them for a couple weekends. You know, and then once the bird is frozen and thawed a couple of times, it just gets nasty, right? So we have to throw it away. But what's interesting about the pen ducks, they have to cut one of their toes off, right? So they have they have to cut one of their toes off, so that way everybody knows it's not a wild bird. So, but that's
hey, yeah,
that makes sense.
Hey, but when I went to the club, like you said, you throw the ducks, but man, that club is just so welcoming. Like, I brought my little daughter out, Marine. She took my daughter around and worked with her dog, you know, and then, like, it's a really welcoming club. Yeah. Go ahead, Brian. Sorry, man.
And you guys have started kind of something new this year and trying to get a juniors program started and trying to bring some kids into the club so you got some New England blood in there. And I think that's a good thing. Any sport like that where you have the hunting and the dogs and stuff like that, when we get younger kids in it, it's just going to help your club grow. It's going to help be a solid. And then instead of having a member for 4 or 5 years because they're older and their life gets so busy, these kids, when they get, they're younger and they may leave for a year or two, but then they come back when they're in their 20s and 30s and they can fill those spots in those clubs. So I think it'll help you grow your club size quite a bit.
Absolutely, right. I mean, the kids to me are where it's at, right? I mean, luckily I found somebody that said, hey, the dog trainer, right?
Yeah.
So he goes, hey, you got to go check out this club. And the first day I was out there, I got hooked.
You're done.
And I'm like, man, you know, I get to spend more time outside, right? Yeah. Because hunt season's only so long, right? So now I get to go play outside with my dog and try to learn how to teach him how to hunt.
Yeah.
Right? So that was another key. That was another big aspect for me was I get to go play more outside activities.
Yeah, I want to go back to the junior trial. So AKC, you get a hole it to land water, and then what's the next step up after that?
Okay, so let me jump into HRC, Mark, real quick.
Right? Okay.
So HRC is they're more of like a Midwest, real big down south, East Coast.
Okay.
But it's set up more for hunters, right? It's geared toward hunters. So I don't know a whole lot about it, just But like you get to sit on the chair, right? So you have a shotgun in your hand, and then when you call for the bird, they'll throw it. You have to take a cap gun or a shotgun and shoot it from where you're set.
Okay.
Or they may have you set in a boat, or they may have you put your dog in a mole marsh blind, or you know something off to the side and have a remote set.
Okay.
Right. So it's more, from what I understand, is it's more geared toward
hunters.
More gear, yeah. It's more hunting scenarios.
Yeah.
Right. Same type of stuff. Right. You still have the blinds. You still have marks. You know, but they have what they call the grand as their nationals. Right. So the grand is where it's invitation. You know, you have to win so many or whatever. Like I said, I don't know a whole lot about it, but that's where it's sort of my puppy's dad. He's a 9-time grand hunt retriever champion.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He came from a super good bloodline.
He came from hunt lines then.
Yeah. So his daddy, his dad. Jet, which is out of Nebraska, it's Flatlander Kennels. They have, I got lucky, right? I mean, yeah. That's what I wanted. I wanted a dog that's super high power. I wanted something, you know, you pay for what you get in a dog.
Yeah.
Right? So everybody kept saying, hey, you know, you need to find genetics. So my trainer that I talked to, you know, he gave me this guy and said, if you want a dog, this is about to go put your deposit on.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and before the dog was even born, they had four males, four females were already spoken for. They said, if they have five males, you get the last one.
Yeah.
Right, so I gave him my money, you know, and luckily they had five males, so I got Swerve.
Nice.
So, but going back to the AKC hunt test that we do, so the next level up is seniors.
No, stay right there, man.
Oh.
I'm gonna come to you. There we go.
Sorry, I can't sit there and then not look at you.
Oh, really? No, you're good. I'm just messing everything up. So next level hunt senior, Brian's gonna fix this. This is what he does. I make a mess and he fixes it.
So it's seniors is the next level up.
Okay. Right?
So with seniors, you have to be able to run blinds. So a blind is the dog. So there are marks and blinds.
Mm-hmm.
So a mark is a bird coming out of a winger or being shot that falls. The dog can actually see it. Blinds are the dog cannot see where the duck falls.
Yeah.
And then you have to guide him to the bird. Right. So that's where the hand signaling. And
that's one of the most impressive things.
Yeah. That's what sold me.
Right? Did it? The blind retrieves?
Yeah. Because see, I really didn't understand it until Maureen let me run Frisco.
Uh-huh. Right?
But that's like, I laugh at her all the time. I'm like, you can't give me keys to a sports car, right? Because then it ruined me, right? Because I could send Frisco on a 200-yard blind retrieve, send him out, blow him, send him whistle, and go left to right, right back, left backs, you know.
Tell them how you do the blind retrieve of the hunt clubs. You do three launches, and you have two bumpers. Tell everybody about that.
So as far as, so we plant blinds, right? So
yeah.
We use the electric fence post. We paint them orange or white, depending on the dog's level. But we go and hide it 200 yards.
The bumpers.
The bumpers, right? So they can't smell it. So you have to put them right on the spot.
Yeah.
So, you know, you try to get them to leave your side to run as straight as line as possible, right? Because if you set a dog down, most of the time from his nose to his tail, you can see exactly where he's lined up, where he's going to go.
Yeah.
That's just something I learned from the guys in the club. You know, the older people going, hey, this is what you look for. And then, like, my dogs, when they take off, you can see, like, my boy Ruger, when he gets ready, like, when he sees something falls, or he sees, like, and I tell him, hey, dead bird.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I point him in a certain direction. He'll go like this. He'll go. He'll settle his head in, like, okay, I got you, right?
Yeah.
And then I turn him loose, and then we start. Right, but he if he sees something fall, he'll just go.
That's one of the things that I found about, you know, running rock quite a bit and watching some other dogs work, and you get them in the water and they're going in a general direction, you're sending them in a general direction, they get them in the water, and as soon as they spot that duck on the water, man, their whole attitude changes. They set lower in the water and they actually pick up another gear.
Yes.
And it's really cool to watch those dogs work. And With the hunt club dogs, those guys, man, once they get it, once they're on the line, you could tell, because it just something snaps and their whole demeanor changes on what they're doing.
Right. Yeah. So, but then, and some of the most of like Marines dogs are pro trained.
Yeah.
Right. So they've been with the same trainer that I have now, Richard Cole.
Well, that's what Marie sent her dogs to then, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. So cool.
Most of her dogs are pro trained, but her little black dog Flirt, that dude won a national title. Right, so the Master Nationals I was telling you about.
So is she going as an amateur to the national titles then?
No, so Richard ran Flirt in the Master Nationals. So that one pros can run, but they also have a Master Amateur National.
Yeah.
So it's just amateur guys like myself. I can take my dog. It's only amateur handlers, right? So that's my goal.
Yeah.
That's what I want to do, right? So I want my dog Swerve. I want him to go be a Master National dog. And I want to go run him myself in the Master Amateurs. That's my 3 or 4 year plan.
That's the dream, man.
Yes,
that's your dream.
That's why I'm going to do what I want to do.
Hey, I want to go back and talk about the insaneness of what y'all do at the Retriever Club. So what they do is they put out 3 blinds, and they launch 3 ducks in the air, and the dog can't go, and he's behind a thing when they launch the 3. Sometimes he's behind a blind sometimes. And then they have 2 posts way out in the middle of nowhere with bumpers behind them.
Right.
And then what these fellers do, Scott runs Marine's duck sometimes, but they send him to get 1 duck and bring it back. And they send him on the 2nd duck and they bring it back. And they send him on the 3rd duck and they bring it back. And then to make it even more difficult, they have bumpers hidden. And so they send this poor dog out again on a bumper, and he brings that back. And then they send the dog out again on another bumper.
Right.
And he brings that back, and it just blows my mind watching these dogs work. It's just nuts to me.
And to be honest with you, that's what got me into it, right? I mean, the level of maturity in the dogs, right? So that's a master level test, right?
Yeah.
So three marks, couple blinds, that's a master level test, right? And they do that on land and water, right?
Really?
So they do that on land and water both. Now, so in a master, you have 3 series.
Okay.
You have water, you have land, and then you have a land and water. So if we're talking about Overton, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the land will be a field, and then like pond 14, which is what we call running water.
Okay.
Right? So the dogs can actually run through it.
Yeah.
Right. So they'll run across land into water. Right.
Yeah.
That's their land. Or then you could do water. Sometimes, depending on the test, they can be swimming water like out in the ponds.
So you go down by Wilson.
But there's 66 dogs, so if the more swimming water you have, the longer the test takes. So, but most tests try to go like 5 to 7 minutes per dog, right? Because with 66 or 99 dogs, you're doing all day, and then part of the next day, you've got to start to finish up that test. But so they try, that's why we went with 66 dogs, you know, is because you can get through maybe 1 series and then start on a 2nd series and then finish on the next day. Right. So
okay.
You try to get 3 series in one day.
So you try to get 3 master series in one day.
Yeah. Well, no, 3 master series in 2 days.
In 2 days. Okay.
Yeah, so, but there's 66 dogs that start off right now, depending on the how intense the or how hard the test is, you might have 20 dogs fail. Right. So then you're starting off the next series with 40 dogs. Because once you fail, you're done. You can pack up and go home.
Okay,
you don't get to run the rest of the test.
But some of these people bring like 5-10 dogs, right?
Up into 20-24 dogs. Like the big pro guys, they'll walk in here, they'll drive in with 2 trucks with a gooseneck with 24 dog boxes.
So the pro guys are bringing like almost 1/3 of the dogs run the Master Series sometimes.
Yes, most of the time we have a couple of pro trainers that come here,
mm-hmm.
and they're bringing, I think we counted 36 dogs 1 year, and there's like 29 the next year.
Out of the really?
Pros. Yeah.
Out of one guy or out of all the pros?
Like, most of it's 1 or 2 guys, right?
Okay.
One of the guys out of California, he's been supporting the club a long time. He brings 2 trucks, 2 gooseneck trailers full of dogs. But they also have junior dogs, senior dogs, right? So there's no limit to entries in juniors and seniors. We could have 20, we could have 60. Right, so it's a pretty quick test, you know. So that's
And so these masters, they'll bring the dogs in. He wants to get on the mic, man. They'll bring the dogs in, and so if one of the dogs fails, they just move on to the next dog. Man.
Yeah.
About like so, if a master brings like 29 dogs in, how often? How many? What's the percentage of dogs that fail versus that pass?
I don't even know.
Yeah, it all depends on the day.
It all depends on the day. It all depends on the test, right? Like, it just depends on how hard the test is, right? Like, so in a master test and senior test, you have to have what they call honor.
Yeah.
So once your dog runs, right, and let's say your dog passes. Yeah. Well, you have to go off to the side about 10 feet, have your dog set, can't move, right? So if the next dog comes up and gets ready to run, they throw all the birds, shoot the birds, whatever they do. If he moves and chases after that bird, like you saw Andy that one day, right? Disqualified. Put him in a truck dog.
Done. Oh, my gosh.
But that's the obedience, right? That's the dog obedience is their base, right? It has to, that core dog obedience has to be there.
They want to make sure they'll listen.
And we talked a little bit in the blind one day about the difference between a duck hunting dog and a trials dog or a hunt club dog. Right. And it's really boils down to those dogs that are going to competition are just a lot more disciplined. They're on a shorter leash. They don't get to run just willy nilly like Rock will go in and grab a couple of coots and so it's just a different style of training. And we're with a duck dog you're training them really kind of on a specific goal. Now your dogs do great in the blind as well. But just because they're so spoiled, because they get the heater in your jacket, and
yes,
and I kind of was Scott, one of his dogs, and he, man, she started out with one of Scott's jackets and the heater on her, and then by the time she's done, she had both of Scott's jackets, and so it is pretty interesting just to watch the difference between our working dogs and then a dog that's running a competition.
My spoiled dogs.
Your spoiled dogs.
No, that's not everybody's, right? I mean, mine are just all right. I mean, she's you know, but that's the difference. If I brought my boy dog out, you guys would go put him in the truck, right? He's 90 something pounds. He's a giant dog, and he would literally knock every shotgun over in the blind because
he's just running back and forth in the blind.
Well, if he hears ducks, duck calls, right, and he hears a shot, he knows that a duck's coming, right? He's been trained for that, to hear duck sounds.
That's his time to work.
A shot, and it's time to go. And you talk about crying. He won't stop. He's loud.
He starts whining.
Yeah. So it doesn't stop. Right.
Which
so
one's that? That's the swerve you just got?
No, that's my old dog.
It's the old dog.
He's 2 years old, but it's my older boy.
Okay.
It's my big child. Right. So, okay. But like that dude can, he knows all the signals. He knows the training, but he's hard headed. Right. So if and me and him don't, my wife calls him self-employed. Right, because what he wants to do, right? And he's a team player, and he will listen to what I say do, right?
Yeah.
If he wants to go, if he thinks that duck's over on the right side, you can't get him to not go to the right. He don't care, he won't listen. You might as well just let him go. When he figures out he ain't there, you'll have to send him someplace else.
Does your wife run the dogs too in competition?
I'm trying to get her to. She helps a lot now, so I'm trying to get her to. This year coming up, I'm going to have her run both my dogs and junior. Both my dogs are junior hunt tests. They both have their certificates. I ran them. And that's the thing with Ruger, right? So let me get back to that real quick.
Okay.
So with Ruger, I never thought, you know, my goal was just to go do a hunt test and see if I could do it.
Yeah.
Right, the first one, he failed. And then after that, I believe he passed every other one. He passed every one after that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Even with being hard-headed?
Well, see, there's a story behind that because you can hold them with a collar.
Uh-huh.
So the first hunt test we were out there, my dog was so bad. My wife has it on video. I've got him with my hand under his collar. I'm on my hands and knees, and I'm not a small guy.
Yeah.
And I grabbed him, and I'm sitting, and I'm holding him like this. And I'm holding him with both. I'm sitting on the ground.
Yeah.
And he's dragging me. He's pulling me out of the holding blind because another dog. And they were laughing at me, right? And then one of the judges that was there was like, look, you already paid your money. You're not getting it back. He goes, just enjoy it, right? Relax. Let's see what that dog can do, right?
Yeah.
Just see, I'm like, because he wasn't trained and not like he is now, right? He goes, just enjoy the moment, right? Have fun. I turn him loose and man, like I said, he ran to every decoy that was out there, sniffed it, got the bird, brought it back to me. I grabbed it and I was like, oh yeah, he's going to do good. And then the next one, he spit out of there, pack him up, call when you get to go to water, right? But I had another one in Chino, California. I get him off the truck. I put him on a slip lead, and he drugged me down the road. One of my leashes broke.
That was right? Ruger?
Yeah. He broke my leash. And luckily...
Why are we bringing him out to the duck blind, man? He sounds like a go-getter.
Oh, he's ridiculous. I'll bring him out.
Okay.
He's but you can't... I'll spend all day with him trying to hold him. It'll be absolutely...
He don't respond to the shock collar, huh?
No, he doesn't respond to that. You can turn it up. You can turn it up and hit him. Now, in training, he'll just lay down. He clicks.
Yeah.
Right, but... If you get him out somewhere where he thinks there's a duck, there's no stopping, man. You can't.
That's the way Ron is. I gotta use a shock collar on him half of the time.
That's right. I'm like Ruger, man. I'll just walk right through that. I don't care about your shock collar. Don't threaten me with a good time.
But yeah, it's. But he, like I said, he's a super dog, man. He like we took him out and throwing marks.
Uh-huh.
If it's 100, 120, 130 yards. He knows exactly where it falls, go gets it, brings it back.
Yeah.
Right? But it's just something, when it comes to the hunt test, he loses his mind. It's hard to explain. Until you see it, he just loses his mind.
Really?
Because he knows that he doesn't have a collar on him, that we can correct him. That's what they call a collar eyes.
Yeah.
Right? So once he knows he doesn't have that collar on him, he's like, uh-huh. I know you ain't got it on me now. I'm going to do what I'm going to do.
See how far I can drag you today.
Well, in Chino, like I said, he broke my collar. I fell off in the ditch. Right? And they threw a bird on the other side of the water. Luckily, my wife was standing right beside me, and I'm like, grab him. She runs across the road and dives.
Uh-huh.
Full on, like she's sliding into home plate or something. Dives.
Just like full on, like, tackle.
And grabs him. Right, and I put this little bitty collar back on him that I had.
Uh-huh.
And the lady's like, oh, you can't control your dog. I'm like, look, man, my leash broke. She goes, oof, okay, you can run. Because she was going to disqualify me.
Oh, really?
Because you have to have your dogs under control. Right, that basic.
Yeah.
Go back to that basic obedience again.
Well, and it's one of the things. I mean, there's a lot of money in some of these dogs. And, you know, your dog comes out there and he's being a jerk and goes after another dog and hurts another dog. It's a lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
You've got to have complete control.
Yeah, so I think that's one of those things, is it takes a lot just to get to the point where you can even get them to where they can go run, you know, a hunt retrieve club event or anything like that, just because it takes a lot of time just on the obedience side to get these dogs ready to where they're just ready to be social with other dogs at all, you know.
Yeah, that's why we don't let Rock out of the truck early in the morning, because he likes to fight other dogs.
Yeah, right.
But I don't know. We have my wife likes that in him, though. She wants him to do it, because we have a lot of dogs that wander our neighborhood. In fact, today we had a dog wander in our yard today, and Rock put him on his face, so he doesn't mess with my other dog with the heat.
Right.
So she doesn't want to train that out of him. But Brian's right. You get some... I mean, you get a bunch of, like, competitive dogs, and they're going to be aggressive.
Well, and see, and like, most of the dogs in that level, right, they don't spay or neuter.
No, you don't.
You know what I mean? So they've got the full, they're full-on dogs. Like, both of my dogs are spayed neuter, because I don't plan on breeding. I don't plan on having puppies.
Swerve's?
No, Swerve's not.
Okay.
Swerve's not. So, because I, with him being the bloodline he comes from, I would like to try to keep a puppy from him from now on.
Yeah.
Right? As my dog gets older, I want to get another puppy. Now, depending on what he does, because you never know about a dog, right? So,
yeah.
If he turns out to be this superstar dog that I hope he is, you know, then, yeah, I want to proceed. But if he turns out to be, if he has bad habits and I can't get it out of him, then I'll have him neutered.
He's not looking that way, though.
No, so far, man, he's a proud. Right? So...
So what do you think your favorite part about working dogs is? Like, you went out with me and Brian, and you watched Rock work the ducks. So versus, what's your favorite part about working in the field versus working on the trials? What gets you going? You're like, man, that's why I'm here.
How intelligent a dog is.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, for me, that's what, to watch a dog, let's say in master levels, right? So to bring a dog up there, have him under control, without a collar, without any, you can't touch him.
Yeah.
Or touch him, right? You cannot put your hands on him. You can't really say a whole lot to him. Right? To sit there and watch three birds fall anywhere from 60 to 120 yards, right? Watch three birds fall, and they remembered where each one of the birds fell. To go get one, bring it back, go get the other one, and go get the other one. Right, and then you run the blinds like we talked about, under control, not being wild. And some of these dogs, man, just are nonstop, right? They're just there on it, right? Boom, 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 boom. Let's go to the next level, right? And I saw one of my friends that I met at a couple hunt tests. His dog was just like running a blind. Man, that dog, you turn it loose from your side, and it was just a straight line. So if you aim that dog right, mm-hmm. to where you know that bumper is, or the duck, they use roll ducks, but if you,
yeah.
and you put the wind, right? So at that level, you have to take account of the wind, right? Because you don't want to send, if the wind's blowing right to left, you don't want to send the dog right of the mark, or right of the blind, because he won't smell it, right? But if you get him downwind about 4 or 5 feet, as soon as that dog crosses that scent cone, boom, he turns and goes, okay, I got it. You know what I mean? But to see the dogs once they figure out what they're doing, right? So all the training that you put in to watch it click, right? To understand that, okay, we've trained. So no matter what they throw at us, you know, we know how to work it.
It's almost like watching a pro athlete then.
They're absolutely a pro athlete.
Yeah.
Right, because you feed them, you know, you feed them real good food.
Yeah.
You get them out, you work them, you train them, you do everything you can to get prepared, right? Every drill, there's YouTube videos, there's books, there's everything, right? I mean, to watch them, but like I said, my biggest thing is watching a dog work, right? I mean, it's like a rock. Mm-hmm. Man, like, I think one day we were out hunting, and ducks were flying, I'm like, yeah. I'm watching that dog right there, right? I mean, I'm caring about the ducks flying, right? Because, like you said, once Rock goes out of that blind,
uh-huh.
and you send him, and all of a sudden he goes check out two geek coys, all of a sudden he looks out across there and sees a dead duck or something laying in the water. Dude, he's on it, right? I mean, it's just the ears pinned back and he's gone.
Well, and that's one of the things, like Rock, Ron runs into this issue. You try to train him with a bumper and stuff like that, or fake duck, and he'll retrieve it once or twice, but then after that, he's done. If it's not a real duck, he doesn't want it. He doesn't want anything to do with it. So, and that's, I think that's part of it too, is he's been on real ducks pretty much all his life, and that's what he knows. And he's like, that's not a real duck. I'm not going to bother with that.
Right. You know? Because he knows he's going hunting the next day.
Exactly. And that's the thing.
He'll start chasing bumpers when we don't duck hunt for a
while. That's true. But but those dogs, man, and Rock will just, he'll go 3-4 days straight and just run the entire time. And, you know, you can tell, you get back in the truck to go home after it's been a long day and that dog's just done. But if Ron and I leave him the next morning, he's not very happy with us and he wants to hunt. And so these dogs that are working, doing competitions and stuff, that's what they thrive on. You know, they thrive on that working thing. And I think a lot of people don't understand that. These dogs are, that's what they're designed for. That's what they're bred for. They want to work. And it's, you look at cattle dogs and stuff like that. People buy a cattle dog and they sit it in their house. They wonder why it's tearing everything up. Well, it's because it's not designed to do that. It's designed to work. And if you're not going to work it, you're going to have problems. And I think labs are the same way. They got to get some energy out. So if you're sitting in a lab at home all day long and it's doing nothing and you never take it out to work and never challenge it, it's going to get into some trouble because it's trying to fill that void. So
yeah, it's got to, you got to stimulate its mind along with exercise, right? I mean, it's like within the house, since I live here in Las Vegas and I don't have a big backyard, mm-hmm. like my dog Rupert loves a laser level, like laser light.
Yeah.
You can put that laser on the ground and the man, he'll just run back and forth. I can set a chair, or my wife does, right? Just back and forth. And that's what he loves to do, right? So but that's how I get some of the exercise. But now when it comes to work, like if we do, like we're all the time working on obedience at the house, right? I put him on a leash, walk him here, he'll sit, mm-hmm. sit, throw a bumper, make him stay, let him go by his name, right? So it's, you know, depending on what we're doing, like with Swerve, right? I don't want to send him to my trainer. And him, you know, I want him to have some kind of...
What you do to my dog, he'll say.
Yeah. Well, luckily I got to take him down. He goes, okay, this is what we're going to do. And he's like, oh, you're not doing this? I'm like, no. He goes, because I was only throwing, let's say, 50 yards. Ducks at 50 yards. He goes, no, I want you out at 100, 120 yards. This is where I want you doing. I'm like, he's a 22-week-old puppy.
Yeah.
He's like, quit being soft. He goes, let the dog work. The dog knows how to do it. Start letting him get out of this, but the trainers, like the guy that I'm sending Swerve to, they do 250 yard marks.
Really?
Yeah, and they run and run and run. Like, I took Annie down there, and we set up on this big hill, and they had to go down the hill, across the land, into the water, out on the other bank, go get the bird, get back in the water, swim back across, back on land, and back to me. I go, my dog can't do that. He goes, really? I said, nope. I said, my dog is going to leave here. She's going to get to the edge of the water. She's going to run around the bank, pick up that duck,
uh-huh.
and run back around the bank and run back to me. But that's the training, right? I mean, that's just...
But I had so that competition, they had to go through the water no matter what.
Yeah, it's called bank breaking, right? I mean, okay. So a dog is, it's supposed to go from point A to point B.
Yeah.
And come back from B to A.
Okay.
Right? So they make it challenging, right? So a dog is supposed to, the fastest way is straight line.
Yeah.
Right. So they don't want it going around different obstacles. They want it to go through a little hole in the brush or, you know, not pass up brush. The dog's supposed to dig through the brush, get into the water, go get the bird, come back to the brush. It's hunting scenarios.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, it's like where we hunted Overton. In a couple blinds we've been in, right? You've got brush all along the side for 20 yeah. yards. Well, they don't want that dog running all the way down, crawling across, running all the way around the pond.
Well, that makes sense.
Right. It's supposed to go get the bird, then get back. Where our dogs, my dog, if that bird was shot on the bank on the other side, she would go get that bird, get on the bank, and try to run around.
You've got to take the road around. It's easier.
but that's a difference in training.
Hey, so, stupid.
I mean, man, when I brought Rocket, I was a little worried because I brought him out duck hunting at 6 months old. Right. Like, he was a new puppy. When me and Brian, he was little, right, Brian?
Yeah.
We first brought him out. But since day one, he wasn't scared of guns. And at 6 months old, he was still super aggressive going out and getting ducks as a pup. And talked to some people, and they said, well, I think you might ruin him. And then we brought him out this next season, and he's did even better.
Oh, he's a stud. Yeah. I love Rock, right? I mean, it's, you know... But you could see the difference in.
He's a redneck.
Yeah, but you could see the difference in drive between Annie and my dog, right? My dog has super drive when it comes mm-hmm. to the hunt test game. Now, in a blind, what does she do? She slays on the bench yeah. right beside me with her head in my lap.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm She's good.
Like, I don't. Okay, when I get to go to work, I'll get up. Rock stands up the whole time.
Yeah. It might help if we shot at ducks, though, too. So that.
Right.
She has low expectations.
She's like, are you guys going to shoot anything today?
She's like, how many more times are you going to miss?
She's like, hey, when you shoot, at least throw a bumper or something.
No, man. She was a great dog, and she was super awesome in the blind. And she got to work a little bit that day, but she didn't get to work as much as we would have liked her to.
Right, yeah, because that's the one where I shot that one ruddy, and then it went swimming away from me. So I had to run out in the water as fast as I could to get her, because that's the longest retrieve she would have ever had.
Yeah.
Because it was probably...
It was halfway across Pintail, right? Like yes. 200 yards.
Yeah, probably not.
And
yeah.
there's nothing to walk on. She had to swim the whole way out there.
Yeah, so I was chasing it. Finally, when she saw it, luckily, because that dude, I couldn't catch him.
Uh-huh.
Right, so she swam about 100 yards from me after I was already in the water, about 100 yards, mm-hmm. and swam all the way back. And then she's like, okay, I'm done.
She caught it, though?
Yeah, she brought it back to me.
Man, early in the season, me and Brian went out to Paranagat. You were on that one with me, right, Brian?
Yeah.
Oh, it might have been. Yeah, I think it was you. And we sailed one way out there. Like, way out there, Scott. Like, it dropped 200 yards out. And Rocket's out there. And it already swam 300 yards out by the time we got out there. And then Rocket's out there, and he gets on it, and it keeps on swimming away from him. But, man, he chased that sucker down.
Well,
I felt bad
about,
for him, man.
That's a really good thing about hunting with a dog, is the dogs get to that water so much quicker than we can walking. So you can get a dog on a bird and get it back in the blind, and half the time it takes you just to get out to the bird a lot of times. And, you know, a good dog is just, man, it's super valuable to have a hunting blind with you. And it makes, if you ask me, it makes the hunt more enjoyable. You know, you get a good dog, it's friendly, and you just got a dog in there, it just makes the hunt better.
Oh, I agree with you, man.
For me, that's going to be on duck hunting, right? I mean, with you guys, bringing yeah. Rock out, because I think that one of the first times we got a cripple, and yeah. Rock was out there just going, okay, where is he? Where is he? Right? He's trying to find him, and I think you end up having to go out there with him, right? But just watching
he kept on diving under and going like 5 feet away from him.
Well, and that's the thing is that I know that first hunt, you know, it was, you know, we hunted in the morning, and you know, it was an okay hunt. It wasn't anything spectacular. But, man, as soon as Rock worked, you're like, now that's what I came for.
Yeah.
And so for you, I think you were more excited about the dog than the birds. And, you know, and it's great because you get that, you get excited about it, and you can see it in your dogs and the way your dogs work and how spoiled your dogs are. I asked, we hunted this last weekend, and he had a guy from work with him, and I asked him, the guy from work, I'm like, so you make you ride in the back? He goes, no, it's too nice for me. I have to ride up front. The dogs get the back.
Oh, did you bring Annie out last weekend?
No.
Broke her, right? I mean, I took her to an island, and I let her out in a gravel pit, and so she came out limping, so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I.
You took her out where?
To an island. That's where my trainer was in California.
Okay.
And anyways, I was just letting her go to the bathroom, and she was playing with my dog Swerve and come up limping.
Yeah.
God. So I
that just happens sometimes.
And we're out running out in the grass field, and I got her done, and she came up limping again. So I'm like, okay. I told her.
What do you do to like prevent dog injuries and stuff? Do you got any tips on that, or does it just happen sometimes?
So my dogs are city dogs. Yeah. And I hate to say this, but my dogs are city dogs. Right? Like I have Astral Grass Turf in my backyard. Right, so they don't get to run on gravel. They don't get to run out in the desert. They don't get, their pads get real tough.
Yeah.
Right, so like my dogs have soft feet. So once they get to running around on the gravel rocks a lot, their pads get sore, then they come up limping.
Is that, okay, that's what it is then, huh?
Well, that or she just twisted her leg or twisted her ankle. You know, I don't know. I mean, I saw it happen, but I, like, when the dog limps, first thing, like every hunt, right, or after every test, I put them on my truck. I check their feet, make sure there's no stickers, right? I put my hands in all their paws, make sure there's nothing in them.
Yeah.
Right, then I put them up in the truck, right? I mean, I make sure that all my dogs
are tuned up.
Well, I just make sure, like, there's goat heads.
You're just taking care of your dogs.
Yeah, make sure there's no stickers, like foxtails.
Is that those ones that can actually have, like, the bad barbs in them in the middle of the alfalfa fields?
That's foxtails.
Okay.
So, like, when they get in the dogs, like, in a nose, they just keep going.
Yeah.
They kill them sometimes. Like,
yeah, they can kill a dog.
They'll just migrate through them, right? But foxtails are the, you know what I mean? I'm sorry, the goat heads are little rounds with the spines.
Those are really hard ones, yeah.
Yeah.
No, so, me and Brian, you're out there on that dove hunt with me when we ran rock through that field of foxtails. Like, he chased a dove through a field of foxtails, and I walked out there, and I said, pick him up.
Those were burrs. Those weren't even foxtails. Those were burrs. And they're the round ones, I think.
Yeah.
Right. So they're round, and they're almost like foxtails. They got a super fine spike on them.
I don't know what they're called.
Yeah, that's
what do you call them?
Cucklebirds.
Cucklebirds.
It's just something I've.
And those things, man, they get everywhere, and they're a pain. But you know, Rock doesn't care. He's going to run right through the middle of everything. And
well, I only tell you he hurt because he started like pulling one leg up and pulling. He didn't know what to do, so I walked out there and picked him up and just, you know, he's your baby. So right. I picked him up and carried him out and pulled everything out of him.
Well, that's the thing is, when you're hunting with a dog or you're training with a dog, you got to look out for more than just you as a hunter. You got to take care of that dog first. So a lot of times we had, Ron and I went out and hunted out up north, and we get there and it's frozen over. There's like a 10-foot area of open water, and man, Rock drops some ducks. Rock gets in that water, goes chases out on the ice, gets in the water, and then couldn't get back out. So Ron runs out and breaks the ice and gets Rock back out. But
no, I went out to the middle of the ice where I could tell it break and bounced once and right through.
And Rock, after that, Rock would not. He would get a duck and would be on the bank, and if he got down on the bank and
he touched
put a foot on ice, he was right back up on the bank again. He was like, nope, I'm not doing that again.
Played that game once.
But I think that's an important thing for hunters to realize that, you know, we're hunting in conditions that are pretty adverse conditions for dogs. You know, especially certain breeds are worse than others. Weimaraners make a great duck dog, except for they can't handle the cold. So you got to watch them. They're going to get out in some of these open areas where you got deep water, and you put them on a 500-yard retrieve. You can kill a dog pretty quick on a 500-yard retrieve.
Absolutely, especially in cold water.
Yeah, in cold water, if you don't have, you know, your dogs aren't running a vest and stuff like that, those dogs are getting pretty cold, and that water is not going to dry off of them when it's 18 degrees outside. So it's just something that as hunters, I think we got to be careful too. We take our dogs, and we're mindful of what our dogs. We're going out, if it's 18 degrees, we got coats and waders and everything else on to keep us warm, and the dogs don't have that luxury unless you give them that equipment.
Yeah, so. Especially like out here in the summertime, right? I mean, it gets so hot, right? We can only run our dogs for about 10 minutes. You know, in the summertime, we're out at the very crack of dawn, and we run about 10 minutes, and then we just, like with feeding them, right? So like what I do with feeding my dogs to make sure they stay hydrated, I float their food. So whenever I feed them, I take a bottle of water and I float all their food. So I make sure that they make sure they drink enough, you know. And you've got to be careful about feeding them too, right? Because like I don't feed my dogs before a hot test. I don't feed my dogs before I go hunting.
Yeah.
Like, so like I wait till after they're done, 30 minutes after they're rested, calm down, and feed them, and then usually they go to sleep.
Well, I don't know how labs are, but I know cattle dogs, when I was running cattle dogs when I was younger, they work better when they're hungry. Mm-hmm. So they just do. Horses work better when they're hungry. I'm not saying you starve a horse, you starve a dog, but if you know you're going to be working a dog, you feed them after the fact, then they're going to work better than if you fed them before you went out and worked. And I'm sure probably labs are the same way.
Yeah, back to the washing your dog, though. When you're out working, like working your dog, you got to watch them for hypothermia, you got to watch them for exhaustion, you got to watch them for limping, because these dogs have such high drive. I mean, we train these dogs to have such high drive that they'll run till they die.
Right.
They don't care.
And they're, so like Ruger, right? So like Ruger, when he was a puppy, I think around 4 months old, I didn't think about jumping him out of my truck.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I had a lifted Toyota Tundra, and I didn't think about him jumping in and out of my truck. Wondering why he jumped out of my truck, got him on his shoulders, and come up limping. So I stopped training for a couple months. I'm like, yeah, you know, dogs, because at that age, their bones aren't even grown. Their joints and stuff aren't even healed up. You know, there's gaps in them. And then before last year's hunt test, we put on a hunt test, and the dog, as soon as we're done, I'm like, because he had to jump off a hill, right? And my dog has such a high drive for the hunt test game. He come off of that road, off of that 2 or 3 foot drop, and man, he was gone, right? Like he ran and jumped, landed on his front shoulders, but he went and got the birds. Mm-hmm. As soon as he was done with the land, I saw him limping, right? So I'm like, yeah, well, let's see what kind of water test they're going to do. If it's going to be swimming water, then I'll see if he's okay, right? But he didn't limp. He didn't show any more signs of it. And then, what, a month after we had a hot test, I had shoulder surgery. Right? He ended up having a V-notch in his shoulder where it was like it would catch. Right? So we ended up having major shoulder surgery on him. The doc went in there and cleaned it all up. And now he's back to, now he's running good again. So, yeah. But I'm super cautious about the health of my dog. Right?
I remember we one time I was out with you and we're taking, you know, doing the after hunt photos of the dogs. And I listen to Scott. He's like my mentor when it comes to dogs. And if he says anything, I go, "Why'd you say that?" And he said, "Hey, don't let your dog jump off the truck." And I was like, "What are you talking about? Rocket jump?" He's like, "Hey, I mean, yes, you can, but messed up my dog. I wouldn't do it."
I had a dog,
and ever since then, Ron don't jump off the truck. I had a dog. I pick him up
when it was a puppy. My ex-wife, she went to pick her up from work, and the puppy sitting in the truck. Jumped out the window and blew out his ACL. And so we were lucky enough, you know, we'd go to the vet and talk about the option. The vet's like, "Well, the dog's not going to ever be a real big dog, and he'll be fine. He'll work his way through it, and he'll be good. I wouldn't do surgery on him." But, you know, that's kind of the risk you take is you got to watch those dogs and help protect them a little bit. But I know you talked about, you know, you've got your hunt test coming up for these dogs and for your club. What's, I know there's one position that you say that it's almost impossible to get guys to work it and do that job, and it just blew Ron and I's minds that you'd have a hard time getting that job filled. What was that job?
What was it? Oh, the gunners?
Yeah, hunting gunners.
Yeah, it's crazy, right? Because when we go out to Overton in the morning, there's 50 or 60, 70 people standing there, and they're all with shotguns. Right, but trying to find somebody to come out and shoot ducks for free, right? Yeah. Just come out there for a few hours a day and shoot as many birds as you want to shoot, you know. But it's a different type of shooting, right? Like, we take a pinned duck, hold its wings, throw it in the air, and fly it away from you, and you have to shoot it, right? Being as a, in the club, since we pay a lot of money for the birds, I think we pay, by the time we pay for the bird, you know, have it tended to and everything, it costs us about $18 a bird.
$18 a bird?
Yeah.
That sounds about right. That's how much bullets Brian spends on one bird.
That's the way if I'm shooting sheep ammo.
But to watch somebody throw a bird and can't shoot it, right? It just flies off.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I don't know. It's just weird to try to find. We have to get people that come out of state and come shoot for us. You know, but I mean, but these are the guys that and then what's crazy about the hunt test world, it's a real small community, right? Because when you go from hunt test to hunt test to hunt test, especially in the master levels, you see the same people, right? And it's the amount of people that I've met, and I call it dog lovers, right? Because all of them are really committed to their dogs, right? At that level, their training is immense, right? These people pay a lot of money for trainers. They invest a lot of time, weekends trainings, weekdays trainings.
All the time, yeah.
Yeah.
We're talking about for your training, it's hundreds of dollars a month, right?
Yes.
I mean, so it's an investment. And then the dogs aren't, you're not going to Petco and buying yourself a hunt test dog. You know, you're going to be quite a bit of money into a dog. And it's like anything else, it's quality, you know, when you talk about the animal world. So
yeah, and you pay, and it's funny because my first dog I bought out of Utah, right? I had a chocolate lab named Jaeger many years ago, probably one of the best dogs I ever had, but he's just a house pet.
Yeah.
So me and my wife waited about 4 or 5 years, and I'm like, you know what, I want another dog. So I found this chocolate lab, and I drove to Cedar City, Utah, ended up buying it right on the spot. I'm like, I'll take it. I knew I was going to, right? I mean, so I ended up buying it. And then when I got down here, I started training him, and then I met Tim in the club.
Uh-huh.
Right. So, and Tim had a dog that I really liked. And anyway, it ended up having some issues. And Tim found your dog.
Yeah.
And my dog. Right. So, and then once I met Annie, I'm like, yeah, I'll take that one. You know, I'm like, yeah, I'm not. And I had an elk hunt in New Mexico. I'm sorry, I had an elk hunt in, New Mexico. And I told Tim, I can't come get it until after I'm done with an elk test. I drove from New Mexico, slept for 4 hours, drove to Tim's house. The next day, he picked her up.
Is that when you came out and did that little clinic with my wife?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
My wife loves him, man.
Yeah.
Scott's one of her favorite people.
Well, I guess probably ought to talk about when your hunt test is going to be.
He has a couple more positions that he has to fill besides gunners. What are the other two helpers you need?
So the other spots are like what we're talking about with kids, right? That's where, so they have blind planters. So basically whatever the judge, after the dog throws the marks, somebody grab a duck, they'll run it out, they'll just put it on the ground, go back and set the chair and hide. Right? Yeah. It's one of them deals where, you know, anybody can do it, right? I mean, but it's just the amount of people, right? Like the club, it's a small club, and a lot of the people that were in the club or in the club now are retired, you know, so they're traveling, right? They're retired, but like, go have fun.
Yeah.
Right? So it's one of the deals where, come on up.
Dog's a lap dog now, apparently.
But as soon as you, but try to get the help, right? I mean, it's a little bit of work because it's an all day thing, right? You're sitting out in Overton in the mornings. It's
beautiful Overton.
30 degrees. Yes. You know, but then it gets warm in the day, right? But we feed lunches and we supply all the ammo, right? But he's fine.
Okay.
But it's just what it deals with. It's just trying to get the people to commit, right? Because nobody knows what we're doing.
Well, and I'll be honest with you. So you guys have been coming out to Overton for quite a while. And, you know, we see it every year. We'll see the trucks come in with the big kennels and stuff on the back of them. None of us have any clue what it is. And we actually, out in Overton, we get a couple different groups. We get get you guys with the hunter retrievers. And then we get the barn dogs, the barn trials, where they go and chase the rats through the hay bales and stuff like that with a little... Little ankle biters. Yeah, they do that in Overton.
Oh.
They do that quite a bit. So it's kind of cool, you know, knowing what's really going on with all those dogs coming to town. Because they'll be there for a week, you know, and then they'll be gone.
And my whole thing, too, is like what we talked about, right, with the land organization. My company has been big supporters of the wind for the last two or three years.
Yeah, right? being in conservation.
And that's what I kept telling everybody in the club, right? I mean, we get to use the public land to go out and do our test on.
And you have a place that you get a train that's pretty close to where you're gonna hunt too. That's a private place, so it's just you guys do a good job with that, I think.
Yeah, and my thing too is it's like what we talked about, right? The youth programs, right? And we're all doing the same thing, right? I know there's a hunting retriever club, but there's a lot of old hunters that have been in the club, right? So to try to get all the groups together for the same thing, right? We're all looking to grow our, you know, with hunters. The hunting is going to be the youth coming up, right? I mean, there's not that many of them to do it. So, like with me, I never duck hunted, right? I grew up rabbit hunting.
We ruined that.
I grew up rabbit hunting. I grew up dove hunting. Mm-hmm. Small game, but I never deer hunted, right? When I moved out here to Las Vegas, my buddies were like, hey, let's go big game hunting. So I spent the last 10 or 15 years big game hunting. Man, I love it, right? Chasing elk, chasing deer. Mm-hmm. You know, chasing them, whatever it is. And then now duck hunting, right? You guys ruin me. I mean, that's, my wife will say something to you guys about that next time, but, you know, but it's funny.
She can talk to our wives. I'm sure they have the same thing to say.
They can all be in the same club.
My weekend goes like this, right? So we look at the calendar. Odd number of days is training days for the dogs. Even number of days is hunting. So that's how we plan our weekends now.
Man, I hope we get you out on some different lakes next year. But
yeah, I think we can get you some different places. And you know, Overton's an okay place to start. It's a tough hunt. You and I kind of experienced how tough a hunt it could be last weekend.
You should tell a few stories, man.
Last weekend, we were we happened to be in a blind, and I know Overton's, they're all assigned blinds, and we got a decent draw, and we took a blind.
You took one of the top picks, man.
Yeah, we took a blind.
Should have been first choices.
Should have been really good, and actually there were quite a few ducks flying. We had everything we saw was pintails, I think. We might have saw one or two teal, but everything was pretty much pintails. And get to our blind, and out there you have a blind and you have a pond associated with that blind, basically a bulrush associated with that blind. The guys in the blind next to us, the sun comes up and we look out on the water, and their mojo is sitting on our blind. And we had a pintail come sit out further on the water, and it wasn't shootable, so we're gonna wait for it to fly off and get a shot at it. And these guys come running down this road onto our bull rush, shooting at the ducks on our water. So it
gave you some steel rain, right?
Yeah, it's public land hunting.
Luckily, they were shooting the other
direction.
The other direction. Now, a little bit later, there was a pintail that flew in between our blind and where they were sitting.
Uh-huh.
Right, but we could see him, and that's why I was telling Brian, I'm like, if that dude comes out of the reeds with that shotgun, I said, I'm going to stand up and holler at him or something, because he would have shot right in our direction.
Well, and it was funny because they weren't sitting in their blind. And in Overton, you're supposed to stay in your blind. That's the rule. You're supposed to stay in your blind. But these guys, there's two of them. The funniest thing I've ever seen. There's two of them standing in the reeds holding palm fronds. They're the only green thing within 500 miles. Standing behind a hot palm fronds, just standing there. And you could totally tell it's a person standing there holding a palm frond.
It's like one of those comedy things where he's holding something small and pretend like he's hiding a huge guy.
Exactly. I took a picture of
it. It's exactly what it was. And so public lands, we know public lands are tough because you're going to get that.
Of the journey, man. You got to enjoy those stories.
There were guys out shooting cranes this weekend, shooting seagulls this weekend. I mean, it was a rough weekend, but
it was like the stereotypical Overton that you hear about all the time.
The good thing is Scott got his very first pintail drake.
I did.
Out of that. So
I should have had one early in the morning because he got me on it. He's like, because one came to my right, he's like, shoot it. I'm like, yeah. I didn't know if it was too far.
That's too close for me.
But it was funny because then the one that he ends up shooting, I'm like, oh, that's going to make another pass and it'll come right into our decoy. So I was waiting for it to make another pass. I'm like, bam. I'm like, that was farther than what you told me you couldn't get.
Yeah, I'm still trying to, but I'm trying to be that. I'm trying to learn from you guys, right? Trying to learn how to work the birds, how to not sky bust them, and you know all that other stuff, right? And it's funny because you hear all these horror stories about Overton and all the people shooting, and I've seen it, right? I mean, it's funny because you're like, you're like, what in the world are they shooting at? And all of a sudden, this bird's 2 miles up in the air.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, wow. we had a guy with the
worst premier work. They dropped that 2 mile bird up in there, and you're like, gosh, man, did. Now you're encouraging them.
One of them in front of us, this bird was 2 miles high, and all of a sudden it just comes helicoptering down. And I don't think, I saw where it landed. Right? But he walked past it, around, and down the other
way. He was walking in our bull rush, looking for his bird.
Did you, he didn't have a dog then?
No, and when he ran around and shot the bird on our blind, that's when they quit coming to our bull rush, because then I yelled at him something probably wasn't very nice, and we didn't come back into our blind after, or into our bull rush after that. But, well, Scott, why don't you tell everybody when your hunt retrieve, when your guys' event is, this year.
So it's February 25th, 26th is the... It's so everything that we make off of that hunt test, right, it goes directly to our youth fund.
Okay.
Right, so we used to have a single master Saturday, Sunday, but now we moved into a double master's on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So everything that we make off of that Thursday, Friday goes directly into our youth fund, right? Nobody touches it. It stays there. And then whatever we make on Saturday, Sunday from the master's test, and then we run a double juniors and a double senior. So Saturday is a junior test, Sunday is a junior test. So you can potentially get 2 ribbons, you know, per the weekend. Okay. Right. So that's the 25th, 26th, 27th, and 28th of February.
Now, if people want, they can reach out to you via Facebook, right? You run the
Las Vegas Hunt Retriever Club.
Or they reach out to us at Battleborn Duckers, and we'll get a hold of you. And if they want to volunteer and get out here and watch those dogs work, you know, shoot some birds or run some of the equipment and stuff like that. I mean, everybody's welcome.
Yeah, it doesn't cost anything to come out.
Is this dog crawling up in your lap again? You don't have to put him in your lap, Scott.
Yeah, I know, right? But it's like I said, Thursday and Friday is for the youth fund, and then the Saturday and Sunday, whatever we get off of that, we take it and keep it for the club, right? So we spend it on training equipment, you know, whatever we need throughout the year.
I think it's a good cause, and if you haven't seen these competitions like this and seen these dogs work in person, it's pretty impressive. And I can't imagine, because we're seeing one or two dogs that are decent dogs, and you know, dogs are earning master dogs. I'm like, whoa, those dogs are awesome. And then, so you get these pros that come in and bring their master dogs in, and just the way those dogs are going to work. You know, it's just something to see. If you haven't seen it, it's a great opportunity to see it.
Yeah, if you're any kind of a bird hunter, right? Yeah. If you come, and majority of our labs, right? I mean, there's some Chesapeakes and there's some other dogs, right? But the majority, I would probably say 95% of our labs, but to come watch the different levels, all the way from juniors, if you watch juniors, seniors, and masters, like, you watch a six-month-old puppy go out and then nail 2 marks, you're like, what? Right? I mean, then you watch masters. You watch a dog do a triple, right? And on his way back from the last bird, another guy will throw a bird right into his face, right? He can't touch it. He can't move from it. He's got to keep bringing that bird back to you, and then you can send him to go pick up that bird. So they call it a poison bird or a bulldog, right? I mean, so, but to watch the intelligence of the dogs,
yeah, no,
it's amazing.
It's awesome. And, you know, Scott, you know, Ron and I talk about this all the time, take one, teach one, and Scott and the Hunter Retriever Club's been really good about that. They're willing to, you know, if you want to get a dog, you want to get a dog into it, and it's got some obedience training on it, and it can be around other dogs and people, you know, they're willing to help you learn and teach you the ins and outs of how to get it done and make your dog better. And even if you don't want them to be necessarily a competition dog, the skills that they get going to those meetings and stuff, you're going to be able to use those skills a lot of places. I mean, they're going to be a better duck dog for one. I mean, you just get him to where, you know, Rock, for one of us, or one of our difficulties with Rock is he's not blind or retrieve trained. So we get him out there around the guys that know how to teach that. And so I think it's a great thing. So certainly reach out to Scott. And if you guys are interested in joining the club, or their dues are almost nothing.
Yeah, it's like $25, right?
Yeah, $25 for a single person, $30 for a family.
Yeah, it is nothing to join a club. Just be around experienced people.
And I think that with the youth
thing. And use their stuff, man. They got lots of good stuff.
And like I tell everybody, right? I mean, for the amount of ducks that we bring out, right? I mean, it's $30 pays for two birds for all year.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really, it's nothing.
Yeah, and I think for me, especially young kids, you get them on something like training dogs, and you'll see the confidence level grow quite a bit because they see they can do something that they thought was impossible, right? The first time you get a dog to sit as a kid, it's like, oh, I actually did that. So, all right, well, I guess we're getting a little bit long, so...
Thank you guys for having me.
Probably.
Yeah, we appreciate having you, man. We appreciate you definitely with us, man.
Yeah, and certainly we'll get you out with us a little bit more and maybe have you back and talk about the duck hunt.
I'm going out with him on Sunday, Brian. You got to go to work, though, don't you?
No, I might have to be. I might be able to go on Sunday. So I gotta sit to that class on Saturday. That's the only reason I can't on Saturday.
Oh, okay. So might be out there on Sunday.
Yeah, I have to. I actually take my oath of office on Saturday, so that kind of took precedence. But
yeah, he's a poor man. It's because he could read.
Barely. And it's only if it's words that are like four letters or less. But but no, we appreciate you coming on, Scott, with us. And everybody, remember, if you're going to go out this weekend, take somebody with you. If you're going to take somebody with you, teach them what you know. And if you can't do either of those, just hunt hard.
Thanks. Bye.